Good morning. So good to see you guys, to worship with you, just to see the Lord working in hearts. It's amazing. Actually, we didn't really say introduce Luke much this morning, but Luke's with us within our family of churches. He's from Zambia. He grew up, was born in South Africa, moved to Zambia. Now he's studying in Ireland. You guys, many of you know his story, but I'm going to have him share his testimony in a bit here in just a second. I think it's just going to encourage you guys as a church, encourage us in the Lord, and encourage us and like increase our faith. And but first, I think one thing that was just on my heart that I think, you know, I'm not even going to have a full preach this morning, okay? But one thing that I did sense really strongly from the Lord this week was just to encourage us as a church to keep going. Encourage us as a church for more. Encourage us as a church for freedom and to continue to press into Jesus. And, you know, I had this whole thing prepared on kind of what is a healthy church. We talk a lot about a healthy church here, but what is that? And I was going to look at some examples where there are churches in the New Testament that the Lord actually doesn't have anything negative to say or anything to correct in them. And we could kind of learn from that and had this whole thing. But I feel like actually, I don't know. I want to encourage you guys with a couple of verses and give us not so much the technical parts of a healthy church. I want to excite us in a sense and inspire us to be that healthy church, to actually embrace it and like want that for yourself and want that for others and want that for the name of Jesus. And I felt like even in just my time with the Lord this week, it was like my heart, it burns for us as a church to be each one of us like a tree planted by rivers of water. Like each one of us actually where our roots are running deep, and they're actually, those roots are found in Jesus himself. And like, that's what I want to be a part of as a church that knows Jesus well, personally, where Jesus has free reign in our hearts, but where we on a daily basis are drawing from Jesus himself, the person of Jesus. And Jeremiah 17:8 says, he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And this was the passage that the Lord brought to me, where it's like, this should be us. This should be me. This should be you. This should be us as a church, where each one of us, when we come together, we are like these tributaries, these streams in the desert that are coming together and forming a raging river, that are forming a strong current that's not just made up of one or two of us, but all of us, where all of us are giving what we've got, where all of us are pressing into the life and the heart of the Father and Jesus, and we're bringing that together as one, unified, passionate, just given to him. And I love what this says here. He'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Where are you drawing life? Where are you drawing life? Honestly, where are you finding nourishment for your heart? Where are you finding refreshment? Where are you finding purity? Where are you finding that clear refreshment that your heart craves? Where are you finding it? I think it should be by the streams of living water. You know, the Bible actually calls Jesus himself living water. There's something just about Jesus. There's something about he's so pure. I don't know, it's just like that fountain of life, that fountain of like, it's like, it's almost like crystal clear. There's no spot, there's no blemish. Yes, he's the Lamb of God, but he's also living water. He's living water. And then he tells us that he takes that living water and he places it in us. He gives us his spirit. And he says, you can be like living waters. There'll be living waters that come and spring out of you. And he's not saying you're going to be like, you're going to be God. That's none of that. He's just saying, this is part of me given to you. Where everywhere you go, everyone you interact with, they're going to taste a little bit of what it means to know me. They're going to taste a little bit of me. Streams of living water. So where are you finding life? It says it doesn't fear. We don't fear when the heat comes. I don't fear when the elements change. I don't fear when the circumstances change. I don't fear. There's no fear found in us as a church because we're planted, and we're planted deeply by streams of living water. So when the heat gets turned up or when it gets turned down like today, we don't fear it. We don't move. We don't shake. We don't quake, we're planted. And I'm not drawing life from those circumstances. I'm drawing life from the root of Jesse. I'm finding life from Jesus himself. I'm finding life from the third person of the Trinity. I'm finding life from the very Godhead. And from that place, I'm secure. From that place, I won't be shaken. From that place, I won't fear. You know, one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is boldness. It's a manifestation of the Spirit in our life. And sometimes we get caught up with whatever it might be. I don't know, prophecy, tongues, whatever. But one of the manifestations is boldness. Boldness to proclaim. Boldness to share the name of Jesus. Boldness to just speak the name of Jesus. That's the Spirit at work in our lives. That's Jesus at work. So are you like a tree planted by rivers of water? Are you living in fear? I must confess, from a young age, I've struggled with a lot of fears. And the Lord's dealt with that, and he's dealing with that. But I found that it's kept me from more. It's kept me from more when I've fallen prey to that fear. When honestly, we say in the same sense that we say there's people waiting for you on the other side of your obedience. Guys, there are people to be reached on the other side of our fears. There are people waiting to be reached on the other side of our fears. Those things that keep your feet locked in the ground, those things that keep your knees from not moving, those things, we've got to move through them because there is such freedom on the other side. There are so many more to be reached on the other side. Why are there 1,000 churches in a few miles from us, but still people on the streets? Why are there still people that don't know Jesus, that aren't on fire for him, that don't give him their hearts? Why? Why? Fear holds us back. Fear holds me back from telling my neighbors about Jesus. Fear holds me back from, like what we were just talking about this morning, Chris, from worshiping wholehearted. Fear holds us back. Holds us back from reconciling relationships. It holds us back from even improving relationships. What will they think of me? But you know what? That tree that's planted by rivers of water doesn't fear. It doesn't fear when the heat comes. It doesn't fear when the seasons change. It doesn't fear because it's rooted deeply in Jesus himself. So I want you to hear what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. I feel like God's called us to be a people rooted in the person, the friendship, the one that is Jesus. Not in the idea of Jesus, not in the idea of Christianity, not in the culture around us that slaps the name of Jesus on it, but Jesus himself. And so when I walk away, like tomorrow, I don't want this hype to fade. I don't think this is hype, but you know what I'm saying? I want to walk with Jesus tomorrow and Tuesday. I want to be found with him. I want to be found rooted in him on Wednesday. I want to be found serving him on Thursday. I want to wake up with him on Friday. Yeah. And I want to know him on Saturday. And so when we come here, it's an overflow. It's an overflow of what Jesus has done in us. So we come in that week of walking with him and loving him and being rooted in him and enjoying him. It shows up here and we become that one tree, that one family, that one faith, that one baptism there that's unified, that's moving together, growing. Our roots are strengthening as they go deeper and deeper into Jesus himself. There's something about aspen trees. Whenever you see a grove of aspens, you know you're close to water because they have to have it, but they're always a sign of a river or a spring. Growing up and living in Colorado and Wyoming and Utah, it was so beautiful when you go into the mountains and you see aspens everywhere, and you just know. You know that there might be an underground river nearby. You know that there's a life source nearby. But the other thing about aspen trees is, similar to, I believe, the redwoods, their root system is shared. Their root system is shared. It's not just one. I think as we go deeper into Jesus, there's one of him, but we share. And there's something in the beauty and in the design of being a believer and following him and knowing him is that it's not just an offshoot. It's not a rogue pine tree. It's a family of aspens that he takes us deeper in him and deeper into one another. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll know that it's the real deal when we actually love one another. Yeah. The world will look at us and they'll be like, okay, I see their warts, I see their issues, but there's something about loving others that they have, that they get, that seems like the plan all along. So it'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We don't fear when the heat comes. Our leaves are always green. Leaves are always green. Green is always a sign of growth. Green, when it comes to trees and nature, it's a sign of health. Our leaves are always green. So how do leaves always stay green? They always stay supplied. They always stay rooted. Jesus is also called the vine. The vine. The vine sustains life to the rest of the plant. And we were grafted in. We were placed in the vine. Jesus, we stay green. We stay growing. We stay fresh. Not brittle, not cold, not weakened. But we stay green when we stay close. We stay rooted in Him. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. Guys, I want this for us as a church. We're not a worrisome church in years of drought. What's the years of drought? I think we could come up with a number of things, but one thing that hits me for now is we're missing probably 40 or 50 people. And in a sense, it's like a drought, right? Where there's not the plenty that we normally have. But I actually feel like in these moments, it's a test as a church. Where honestly, part of me, it's a challenge to press in even more to Jesus. You guys are here, but you know what I'm saying? I'm exaggerating. When no one's looking. Because I think there is something beautiful in the Christian life where I am actually, my character is only as strong as who I am when you're not looking. I'm only as strong as who I am when you're not there. And right now, as we're missing some, like, how strong are we as a church? How rooted will we be? I'm really not going to press in today because we're missing so many people. And they're not here. We're going to say, you know what? When no one's looking, when the crowd doesn't gather, will I still press into the Father? Will I still press into Jesus? Will I still not worry about what God's doing with our church, but have my eyes locked on Him, saying, even in drought, I'm going to stare at You. I'm going to gaze on Your beautiful face. I'm going to look to You, Jesus. I'm going to draw life from You and nothing else. It never fails to bear fruit. You know, the thing about fruit is you don't get to decide when it appears. You don't get to pick when fruit comes up, and you don't get to pick what fruit looks like. But you can be faithful, and you can tend the soil, and you can let the Lord plant the seeds, and you can take care of what He's given you, and you can steward that field, and you can take with utmost sincerity, you can watch it, watch over it, and then you wait with faithfulness as you serve. I'm in sales, my 9-to-5. And we never worry about the bottom line. We just worry about the activities. So as long as I'm putting opportunities in that hopper, they will fall out. As long as I'm doing the right metrics, as long as I'm putting them in the hopper, it just happens. And I don't get to pick which customers come through and which ones don't. But it never ceases to amaze me. But it's so much like this in the spiritual life too. I don't get to look at Chris and say, I want that fruit. Okay, but we should. We should look up to Him and follow Him as He follows Jesus. Or, you know, we don't get to look at Luke and say, man, he's so full of joy. He sings in the rain. He doesn't wear shoes. We're still not convinced you're from Zambia. Okay, I'm pretty sure he's German, but it's fine. 9, yep, proof, there it is. But we don't get to look at that fruit. We don't get to look at Him and say, well, I want that, Lord. What do I need to do to look like Luke? No, you're faithful and you steward what's been given to you. Yeah. And you bloom where you've been planted. Yeah. You blossom where the Lord's placed you. And steward what He's given you. Steward the gifts well. Steward your heart well. And be rooted and be tethered and be tied to Him and Him alone. And let's be a church that's like a tree planted deeply, deeply and well-nourished by rivers of water, by living water. A church that knows the living water. A church that knows Him, that loves Him, obeys Him, follows Him. Does that sound good? A church like that. A church like that. As a church that is like that, the rains can come. The weather can shift. The patterns can change. But we know who holds us. We know who has us. Oh, yeah, He's that living water. There's another passage I was going to get into as well, but Colossians 2:6-7. I'll just read it. And then, Luke, come on up. I do want you to share in just a second. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says as well, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Just as you received Jesus, you walk in him. In the same way that you took him, you took the name of Christ, then you walk in with the name of Christ. You walk with Jesus. You know, we think about this all the time. So I want us to, when we have experienced the forgiveness of Christ, then this means we walk in the forgiveness of Christ. So as Christians, we don't have the right to sit here and receive what Jesus has done and given us, while then I don't pay that forward. Why I hold on to that and I live in unforgiveness towards others. You don't have the right to bear the name of Christ if you're going to accept all of his good stuff and hold on to it for yourself. We're going to accept especially that forgiveness and then walk in him. That's what it means to walk in him. As you've received forgiveness, you walk in forgiveness. As you have been forgiven, you forgive. I was challenged with this morning. I was frustrated. And the Lord shined a light on me and he said, Ben, I've forgiven you, man. And it was such a little thing. Let that go. Let that go. I've forgiven you. Walk in forgiveness. As you have received Jesus, as you have received grace, walk in grace. As you have received love, walk in love. As you have received beautiful, free love, walk in beautiful, free love. Why do we withhold? Typically, it's rejection and self-preservation. But as you have been, as you have received freedom, walk in freedom. I was that weird kid who would get new shoes, and then I would hold on to them for like a month and not wear them. Because as soon as I wear them, they're going to get dirty. And I don't want them to get dirty. I'm going to go as long as I can without getting those shoes dirty. But man, wear the new shoes. You know, as you've been given new shoes, walk in the new shoes. As you've been given Jesus, walk in Jesus. As you've been given forgiveness, as you've been given the cross, walk as one who lives at the foot of the cross. Yeah. Let's be that church. Let's be that church. I woke up with honestly a burning passion to just inspire us, to just challenge us. Let's be this kind of church. Yeah. Let's be this church who loves freely. Let's be this church who knows Jesus. Guys, honestly, if we're that church who stays so close and stays so rooted and our consciences are clear and we're keeping short sin accounts before the Father himself, guys, honestly, we can walk through so much. We can walk through so much. But yeah, come on up, Luke. I want you to share. Where do you think you're going to go from here? Luke's been staying with us for a couple days, and he's been a blessing. And we've just seen the joy of the Lord on him, but we've seen his love for God. We know that the Lord has something for him. And I know there's something that he has for us this morning, even in regard to, especially his family, his family's legacy of faithfulness. And so, yeah, I'm going to let you share for a bit.
Yeah, so last night with Ben and Becca, we were praying, and then, I got the opportunity to share at our men's group on one of the mornings, I think it's Thursday morning, with some of the guys on my testimony on how I arrived in the States. And I do think I'm going to share it. I was second-guessing there and going to go somewhere else, but I think that is what I will share with you guys, just as an encouragement for you all individually and as a church in how you can be pursuing Christ and walking with Christ daily. And when that happens, Jesus makes a way. Yeah. He makes a way. So I'm from Zambia, not Germany. But, I have the beautiful privilege of growing up there, but long story short, God really blessed me with the opportunity to go study in Ireland. And so I've been studying electrical engineering in Ireland for the last 2 years or so. And when you arrive, you basically are told on day one that there's this opportunity for exchange that comes up. And there's maybe 40 people, 35 people in the whole of a 30,000 university like student base that can go on exchange because the university pays for you, and it's like, it's amazing. So we told, and it's purely based on GPA, so you know, your marks, and there's nothing else that is factored into it. So I arrive there, I work really hard, and I get to the last set of grades that is included in calculating whether I can come or not. And I get my marks back, and I'm really, really happy. I'm thrilled. Bar one course. I'm like, this is a bit dodge. And I thought I did like a whole lot better than that. And I thought there was just something probing me that was like, Luke, you've got to check this because it could affect your exchange. And so that's exactly what I did. I tried to phone the professor. The professor was in China at the time, so I couldn't get the script. And there was just all these complications that kept on arising. Eventually, I managed to find the script through many emails to different people to get them to scan, to send it to the guy in China for him to have a look at it. And all of this was happening while the people who are allocating the exchange, they just about to do it. And I'm like, so I email them saying, please, please, can you withhold the allocation process? Like, I think there's a mark that's going to change. And they're like, are you nuts? Like, you're one dude out of a university of 30,000 students. We can't just withhold this for you. But I asked, and there was favor. And she said, okay, fine, you've got 24 hours. And so I try to organize a Zoom meeting. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning for me because of the time change. And anyway, it turns out the professor left out a whole section, right? And I did get the marks that I needed. And all that did, it seems like not much, but all that did was it improved my GPA by 0.04. That's it, right? But then that happened in the hour of like 22 hours in. And then we got through, and I sent the marks in, and they said, okay, fine, it's we're going to use that. And she emailed me back the next day, and she said, by the way, you tied with the person who was going for California. And so that's how I got to go to California, because it was the top spot, everyone was there, and I tied with it. So if I had 0.01 lower, we wouldn't have this conversation. I'd be in Australia. Because that was my second choice. So that was the first little miracle. But I was like, I didn't really process it as a miracle when it happened. Anyway, I get back to Zambia, and now the whole visa application process is happening. And Zambia is an extremely third world country, so visa applications is like, it's a nightmare. So I'm busy trying to apply for a visa, but I need the specific form that the university hasn't released to me yet. I'm emailing back and forth with the university. Eventually, they get me this form, and I'm like, thank you, God. But that's after 21 working days. Now, this is about a month ago, right? So I'm like, I really don't know if there's going to be an appointment within a month. I go online to book an appointment, and there is one on the 26th of August next year. So I'm like, oh, that's just so lovely. So now I'm shattered. I'm like, there's no chance of me going to the States. There's no chance of me going to California because to visit the churches there. That was the whole view. And so I was like, I really don't know about this. But then I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to give this to you, and you're going to make a way forward. Then God's way of making the way forward, the U.S. closed the borders permanently. So I was like, okay, thanks. That's actually God's confirmation. So now I'm trying to phone my students in Ireland, trying to organize accommodation there because I have to go back. Then I'm emailing the university, hey, can I come back to my own uni, even though like there's someone who's taken my spot because of exchange? And they're like, we've never had this before. So then the university is going to be paying like double fees. So I basically am in no man's land. I'm like in a trapped spot. I can't go back to my own university. There's no it's a whole nightmare. Then what happens is I'm just praying this one morning, and I feel God saying, go to the computer, right? This is closed borders, like closed borders. I feel God saying, go to the computer. I go to the computer, and I look, and there's an appointment in 3 days' time. I was like, from closed borders to an appointment in 3 days' time. I go to the appointment, everything is in order, I have all the paperwork, I've got everything that like needs to happen. I have the appointment, And by the way, there was about 20 people that were there that day. Not one person got approved, right? So, and I was like number 19, so all like 18 ahead of me were denied. Now I'm there like, ooh. So I'm about to hand my stuff in. I hand my documents and everything like that, thinking, God's got me this far, it's going to happen. I get handed a letter of visa denial. Literally, the US stamp, like, your visa's been denied. You cannot attend the States. There's nothing that can be done. That's like the final mark, like, boom. It's finished. The dream's done. I'm like, oh, I'm so confused. Anyway, I come back with Dad. Dad's sitting in the car. He's like, yeah, did you get it? I'm like, no. So it was like, oh, it was hectic. We get back home. It's a miserable day. We just are like, okay, God, you know, you make a way. Obviously, you want me to go back to Ireland. And 2 days later, I get an email out of the blue that the US has overturned their decision and has granted me a visa. I was like, I mean, you guys are pretty slap bang amazing in terms of documents and everything. So I was like, for you guys to overturn the decision is like, what? You know? And then, yeah, that literally brought me here and then to California. And I just, yeah, I thought I'd share this just as an encouragement that there are so many walls and obstacles that we face in our lives. Constantly, they're like, how on earth do I overcome this hurdle? How on earth do I be a member of a church who is loving? How on earth do I be a member that is giving myself, that is zealous for Christ? It's like these walls are just impossible. But through Jesus's strength, those walls come tumbling down. Just like the walls of Jericho, they are flattened before us, right? He will make a way through it all. And we just have to trust him. We have to trust him. And trust is hard. It's a difficult thing. But we really do. And when we trust him, we'll see the fruit of it. And then we were speaking about seeing this fruit last night. And I was... yeah, really, really hard, because my parents are, so they've been missionaries in Zambia for 30 years. Let this section just be like a encouragement to you guys on faithful serving, right? Just let that be it. And so they've been serving there for 30 years, and we still sometimes have church services where there might be 35 people that show up. And it's like, my mom and dad's hearts break. They're like, we've been feeding into this community. We've been pouring our lives out. And this is what we see. It's like, but they press on and they keep going and they keep turning on. Why? Because their focus is not on the earthly reward. Their focus is on a heavenly reward. And so that's what you guys need to be encouraged with. As you press into this church, as you pour yourself in, as you say, this is where I have true life in this place because Jesus is the chief architect of this area. When that happens, you will face obstacles which will be overcome. But how you choose is to have a mindset of saying, I'm going to be looking to the future. I'm going to be looking for a heavenly reward and not this earthly reward. Because as if we look for the earthly reward, we live in fear. But if we look for a heavenly reward, that is when things happen and God moves and God shapes. And it's quite emotional because like what I said to my mom and dad sometimes when they've been like, look, just we've labored in the kingdom. We've labored. And like, where's the reward? And I've said, I cannot wait to see them stand on their throne before Jesus one day. Because their reward is going to be so big. Because that is what they are focused on. Are you guys focused on this tiny fraction of life? Or are you focused on the eternity that is to come? Because if you are living with eternity in a mindset, church becomes healthy. Church becomes a place where you are like, this is it. This is everything. So live for eternity. Yeah.
Amen. So good. So good. So Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And he will act. He will bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. That's what Ben and Luke are talking about. That's what the Lord is talking about today. So I just want to encourage us, like, Luke didn't know what was going to happen, but he's committed his way to the Lord. He's like, okay, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. Whatever you work out, I'm gonna go through that door, you know. And sometimes the thing that holds us back is the things that we want, the results we want to see. And it's like, but the Lord is inviting us, and we're like, but am I going to still have this? But that's what holds us back. We have to let go of our desires, commit our way to the Lord, and trust in the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. Father, we just come. We come to You, Lord. We trust You, even as we trusted You with today. Lord, we commit our lives to You. And Lord, we just lay down all of our desires, all of the things we think we need from this life. We see You, Lord. We see Your goodness. We see Your wisdom. We see Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to let our roots go deep into You, that our fruit may come, that we may be like that tree planted by the rivers, that is strong, that is standing through thick and thin, through trials, through fears, that we will not fade, our leaves will not fade, only because we are rooted in You. You're the one who created everything. You created everything. Why would we not trust You? Why would we not trust You with our whole substance, our whole life? So I just feel an invitation for us today, really for all of us, like the Lord is asking us, do You trust Me now? Do You trust Me now, Jesus says. I've brought you this far. I will not drop you. My thoughts are toward you. My thoughts are many toward you. My thoughts are good toward you. But do You trust Me? Trust Me.